This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, February 23rd, 2022. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you for choosing me for your Dynamite coverage. I hope everybody's having a great night. A very promo-heavy edition of Dynamite tonight, heading into the Revolution pay-per-view in 2 weeks. A Revolution card that is looking stacked. You know, we got WrestleMania, two nights of WrestleMania coming up in about a month, month and a half. Actually, not even a month and a half. It's coming up pretty quick. And they're going to have some work to do if they want to match up to this card. The Revolution card on paper is looking great. And tonight, we had one more match confirmed, one more big match confirmed. Actually, we had more than one. But the biggest match, Bryan Danielson one-on-one against Jon Moxley. I think we all knew that that was the direction things were headed in, but it was confirmed at the end of the show tonight. It will be Moxley and Danielson going one-on-one at Revolution. To me, that's the co-main right there. And even though, you know, I like the setup at the very end of the show, we got a main event tonight of Bryan Danielson against Daniel Garcia, which is a match just last week, in fact. I said, boy, you know, I would love to see Bryan Danielson in the ring against Daniel Garcia. And we got it tonight, but disappointing in that everything felt rushed. I think they were running low on time. I think it would have gotten a little more time maybe if it was another week or if it was at the beginning of the show. And also, the crowd in Bridgeport didn't care very much. They were quiet. They were sitting on their hands. I enjoyed it. I just wish it was a little bit longer and maybe the crowd was a little more up for it. But again, they don't see Daniel Garcia as a main eventer. You know, they obviously see something in him because we kind of joke on here, main event Daniel strikes again. He's got more main events than some main eventers get in this company. So that ended up being a little disappointing. One of the big takeaways from the show tonight is going to be, I mentioned the promo work. MJF came out and cut a promo that was unlike any MJF promo that he has cut before in AEW. It was very unusual. A babyface-esque promo from MJF. And I think you can see where this is going. But he was borrowing from a lot of real-life stuff that he's talked about before. And I think that's what made the promo work. You know, his eyes welling up with tears, all red, telling stories about how he was bullied as a kid. CM Punk coming out with this incredulous look on his face like he couldn't believe it. Is that true? Or is that a true story that you told? I think we all know next week what's going to end up happening with these two. But he delivered a hell of a promo, and Eddie Kingston is a miracle worker because Eddie Kingston tonight got me interested in a Chris Jericho match. He got me interested in something that Chris Jericho is currently doing in AEW. That's not an easy thing to do. And that was the other match that was made official. The other is the big singles match that was made official. Eddie Kingston's going to go one-on-one with Chris Jericho at Revolution. One tag team is in, one tag team left to go. Number one contenders for the AEW tag team titles of Revolution. We now know that Red Dragon will be one of those teams and very likely going to end up being the Young Bucks on TV next week. We got our first of two Battle Royals. Again, I maintain that we didn't need two, but nonetheless, I think the stage is set. Even the matches that aren't official yet, we can see where things are headed. A promo-heavy show because it had to be here a couple of weeks beforehand to set things up for all the key matches. And also, we got a new debut on the show tonight. As you saw from the thumbnail here in this video, we have a new member of the House of Black. This has been rumored for a while. I actually talked about this last week, that he was likely on his way in. Buddy Matthews. Buddy Matthews now officially a part of the AEW roster, the latest addition to the House of Black. So we'll talk about all that. Very eventful show tonight. Maybe not the most exciting, but a lot of really good stuff on this show, setting up a lot of key matches for the pay-per-view. And they also announced Double or Nothing tickets are going to be going on sale March 4th. They are coming back to Las Vegas the first time since the very first Double or Nothing. I was at that show in Vegas. I think it was at the MGM. In Vegas, third row. It was the night Jon Moxley debuted. Fun show. Fun show. It's about time they go back to Vegas, and they're doing Dynamite, Rampage, and Double or Nothing. All in Las Vegas in two different venues. Dynamite and Rampage are going to be in a different building, I believe, than the one they're running for the pay-per-view. But anyway, so For those who are interested in going, March 4th, tickets go on sale. They're finally going to be back in Vegas for the first time since all of this pandemic nonsense. Super chats are open. I'm going to be reading your messages as I do every week, live here on the air. And you'll see them as there's old dirty sausage. You'll see them popping up on your screen as well. And let's see if we can at least smash, 300 likes at least here during the live stream. We can do that. Let's try to smash 300. A little bit later on, we do the Be the Booker segment here at the end, one for the men, one for the women. And tonight is a very special night because tonight we are going to begin the tournament process for Be the Booker, both men's and women's. We are going to have tournament brackets in the coming weeks that I will be able to fill. And starting tonight, the matches that I randomly select during the Be the Booker segment are at some point going to be entered into a tournament bracket, an 8-match tournament bracket. And then you guys on YouTube will be able to vote. And ultimately, you guys will vote on the match that you think is the one that should go on to win the tournament. Just a little fun thing. Shout out to Eugene Johnson. He's the one who gave me the idea. I said, you know what? I like the sound of that. Let's have our own little March Madness thing going on. So that all kicks off tonight. And before we go on, I would be remiss if I didn't mention a little shout out to Brian Barsoon and Amiibo. You guys know Amiibo from the live chat, Amiibo Guru. They were in the sixth row tonight. They were in Connecticut for Dynamite, representing the Sound Off. I love it. Second time in less than a week that the Sound Off has been represented, once in Saudi Arabia and once in Bridgeport, Connecticut. So we are truly global. From Jeddah to Bridgeport. I love it. So thank you to Brian and thank you to Amiibo for that. That was very nice to see. And before we even get into the review of the actual show, there is another rumored acquisition. Somebody else who's going to be coming into AEW. Buddy Matthews is in. But another name on his way in, and this is according to Fightful, it sounds like a done deal. He's going to be making his AEW debut in the next few weeks, early next month, is Shane Strickland. Killshot from Lucha Underground. Of course, Isaiah Swerve Scott from NXT, former member of Hit Row, which became Shit Row the moment they got called up to SmackDown. Not his fault. But he is going to be breaking away from the other Hit Row members, and he is going to be debuting in AEW in a few weeks. And apparently they're very high on him. They see him as having potential crossover appeal. So more than just, oh, he's a good wrestler, let's bring him in. They see big things in his future. They think he could be a big money player for them in AEW. So nobody can deny that he's got talent. And WWE was nuts to let someone like that go, because surely they could have used someone like him, I think, on the main roster. They called him up. So they obviously had some sense that they wanted to do something with him, and now WWE's loss will be AEW's gain. That's sometime in the next few weeks. We should see him popping up on TV. Dynamite opened with the first of two tag team battle royals. Second one will take place next week. This is to determine one of two challengers tonight here for the AEW Tag Team titles at Revolution, because it will be a three-way. Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus will defend their titles against not one, but two tag teams. So we have the Young Bucks, Red Dragon, Santana and Ortiz, Private Party, FTR, The Gun Club, Alex Reynolds and John Silver of the Dark Order, Best Friends, The Butcher and the Blade, and 2.0. And the rules were very simple. Both members of a team would have to be eliminated. So, you know, we've seen tag team battle royals in the past where one guy gets dumped, the other guy's got to leave. That's not how this one worked. And actually, I'm happy it didn't work that way, because the best part of this battle royal is when it came down to the remaining members of each team that was left in the match. That's when things really picked up here. Gun Club and Mark Quinn of Private Party, they were eliminated early. Matt Hardy was outside the ring. He caught Isaiah Cassidy, who was falling. He was about to fall to the floor. And Matt Hardy caught him, and he pushed him back up onto the apron. And as soon as he did that, Santana knocked him off. Santana, whoever it was, knocked Cassidy, and he fell to the floor anyway. So that was the end of Private Party here in this battle royal. Santana eliminated both members of 2.0 at the same time, and the Young Bucks eliminated Ortiz, which left Santana alone representing his team. FTR eliminated Nick Jackson of the Young Bucks. Over on the other side of the ring, Orange Cassidy was outside in the corner of the best friends, and he saved Trent Beretta from being eliminated, had him on his shoulders, and put him back on the ring apron. And Trent eliminated Bobby Fish heading into a picture-in-picture. So we come back from break. Cash Wheeler of FTR, he gets dumped, and there was no complete team left. And this is where the Battle Royal really got fun. Because up to this point, standard Battle Royal stuff. Once we got to this part, I thought that this is where things kicked up and this got really good. And so we had Matt Jackson, Santana, Dax Harwood, Kyle O'Reilly, Trent Beretta, and John Silver. Santana and Trent, they came face-to-face. They got a standing O because everybody remembers the callback to the parking lot brawl on Dynamite that main evented the show at some point last year, which was a great match, great brawl. And so they paid respect to them, and they gave them a standing ovation when they came face-to-face. They both ended up on the apron. They're trying to suplex each other back and forth. They're trying back and forth, attempting to suplex the other. Matt Jackson and Kyle O'Reilly end up kicking both men off the apron down to the floor. So they're gone. So now we were down to four. We had Matt Jackson, Kyle O'Reilly, Dax Harwood, and John Silver. Final four here in this match. O'Reilly and Harwood, they wound up on the apron together. They were throwing strikes. Dax got the better of it. Dax was stomping the shit out of this guy. I'll say this much about Dax Harwood. You know, FTR fancies themselves old school pro wrestlers, no flips, just fists and the whole thing. One of the things I love about FTR, they lay their shit in. When they're in a match, especially if they're in the ring with a tag team, Santana and Ortiz, or if they were in the ring with a Red Dragon or someone like that. I mean, those are teams that know how to make it look good. And so when he's stomping on somebody or he's throwing forearm strikes or right hands, they lay their shit in. It looks good. It sounds good. It sounds like he's in a fight. And so he was laying his shit in here on the apron and beating the hell out of Kyle O'Reilly when all of a sudden Bobby Fish, who had been eliminated earlier in the match, sneaks up. He's on the floor and he sneaks up behind Dax and he kicks him. He throws a kick right at his leg. And Dax loses his balance and he falls to the floor. He gets eliminated. The referees didn't see it. Fish goes to the other side of the ring, rolls under the ring. John Silver, he ran wild for a little bit, but he got stopped by Kyle and Matt Jackson, who were working together for a few seconds. Didn't last very long. Jackson tossed Silver out of the ring. Kyle immediately snuck up behind Matt Jackson and tossed him out to win the Battle Royal for Red Dragon. They are going to Revolution. Kyle O'Reilly, welcome back, right? He missed a few weeks there because of the birth of his daughter. I had emails from people, what happened to Kyle O'Reilly? AEW debuted him and then he just vanished. Well, he had a kid. And I said, he'll be back soon. So not only is he back, but he wins the Battle Royal for his team. They get a tag team championship match now at Revolution. The Bucks were not happy about this. Nick Jackson came back down. Nick and Matt get in the ring. They confront Fish and O'Reilly. There's no Adam Cole to keep the peace and try to break them up. All of a sudden, though, Hangman Page's music hits, and here comes the AEW World Champion. He does not look happy. You know, he calls himself a cowboy, cowboy shit. Well, we have two world champions who like to think of themselves as cowboys. Only one of them actually wears a cowboy hat, and it's not Hangman Page. I never thought I would say that, but Brock Lesnar, more of a cowboy than Hangman Page of late. But Hangman comes down to the ring. He doesn't look like he's in a very good mood. After what happened last week, he's out there for revenge. He immediately goes after Fish and O'Reilly, and the Bucks are just standing there watching the whole thing. They're not attacking him. They're not getting involved. And Hangman looks up at Nick. He looks over at Matt, and they throw their hands in the air and say, look, you do what you got to do, brother. We want no part of this. And the Bucks left the ring. Adam Cole slid in. Goes for the super kick when Hangman turns around, but Page catches his boot, clotheslines him down. He sets up for the Buckshot Lariat, but Red Dragon pulls Adam Cole out to safety. And in the end, it was a Buckshot Lariat that wiped out Kyle O'Reilly. So Hangman Page gets revenge for what happened to him last week. And then Adam Page gets on the mic. He takes a page out of Cole's book and says, who's ready for story time? with Adam Page. And he sits on a chair in the middle of the ring and he talks about how Adam Cole was a world champion everywhere he went. And he saw the world crumbling all around him. He decided to go after the most prized championship in all of AEW, is what Hangman decided to do. He said Cole went to AEW Revolution. This is what's going to happen. He's going to go to AEW Revolution, and the better Adam is going to put him 6 feet under. And he closed the promo by saying that Adam Cole's body hitting the dirt would sound like boom. That is how he closed out the promo, by flipping off all the heels who were watching him from the entrance ramp. So again, the second half of that Battle Royal, really good stuff. I really liked the latter half more than the first, you know, several minutes of the Battle Royal. Really good stuff, I thought. And you see how many quality teams they have on that roster. There's a lot of great tag teams on that roster. Whether it is, again, Young Bucks, FTR, Santana and Ortiz finally getting more television time the last several weeks, and hopefully they'll stay in the mix. Red Dragon back together now in AEW. I still think once they get away from Matt Hardy, or maybe go babyface again, Private Party, you know, you can see bigger things for them in the future, because they're still very young. Private Party is still very young. And I feel like the whole alliance with the Hardy family office has kept them in the background for most of the year. That's going to come to an end. In fact, it might be coming to an end sooner than later. Because once Jeff Hardy comes in, you can add the Hardy Boys to that list of tag teams. So you're going to have a tag team division that has the Young Bucks, FTR, Santana and Ortiz, Red Dragon, and the Hardy Boys. Not to mention all the other teams on the periphery. So, yes, they have a... I know this is not exactly breaking news, but they have a very strong tag team division in this company. And yes, I did, Miguel in the chat, yes, I did see that Jeff Hardy did an interview. I did not see who it was with, what outlet or podcast it was. Apparently, he let it slip. I didn't see it, but I've seen multiple people say that he let it slip, that he is coming to AEW. It's the worst kept secret, right? He can't do anything for a few more weeks because of his non-compete. He may not have an actual piece of paper signed, but I think everybody and their mother knew that Jeff Hardy was going to land with his brother in AEW. His brother's already there. His brother's dropping little hints and teases every week. We all know he's going to go. It's not exactly such a far-fetched thing. So when he comes in, there is value in the Hardy Boys back together. It's been many years since Matt and Jeff have been a tag team, right? They came back to WWE in 2017. I'm trying to think, when did they dissolve the actual team? I feel like it wasn't that long after, right? Because Jeff got hurt, if I remember. They won the tag team titles. Jeff got hurt. They had to vacate the titles, the SmackDown tag titles. And he was gone for a while. And Matt kind of went off and did the broken stuff for a while, and then they gave up on that. And so, you know, it's been several years since we've seen the Hardy Boys together. And whether or not you look at Jeff as being a liability for Tony Khan, or whatever your opinion might be on Jeff Hardy, should he or shouldn't he go? You know, should Tony Khan sign him or not? Jeff Hardy is still a big name. He still has a lot of fans. And there is still name value. And in doing a Hardy Boys reunion tour of sorts and getting Matt Hardy out of this horrible Hardy family office storyline, that I'm for. Anything that gets him out of that into something different, I'm okay with that. But initially, of course, there's a ton of matches that you can do with them. You can build to one final, let's go after the tag titles that we've never had before. We've been tag champions everywhere, right? In Impact, I'm sure they were tag team champions in Impact at some point. WWE, they held the WCW tag team titles, even though there was really no WCW at that point. So there's absolutely an appeal there. And I think everybody figured that's where Jeff was going to land. But we got a tag team battle royal next week. I think we all know the Bucks are going to win that one. I mean, it's just, who else is going to win that battle royal if not the Young Bucks? I mean, come on. And look, there's lots of different ways that they could go story-wise now with the Bucks, Red Dragon, Adam Cole, Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega said, I think he needs one more. Was it a hernia operation? I think because he was on Observer Radio last weekend. And I think something with a hernia. After that, he'll be ready to come back. I don't know if that's a month. I don't know if that's 2 months. I think it's safe to say certainly by Double or Nothing, Kenny Omega will be in a big match on that show. And when he comes back, that's when shit's going to hit the fan with him and Adam Cole, who's sort of, you know, taken his spot in his absence. Lots of storyline options and ways they could go with the Elite guys when Omega is ready to come back. So the possibilities there, I mean, they can go in a whole bunch of different directions. And Bryan Danielson was interviewed in the back by Tony Schiavone. And we found out that he was going to be wrestling Daniel Garcia in the main event, which I was very excited about. They added this match very late in the day. I want to say it was like 6 o'clock, 5, 6 o'clock, somewhere in that range. And I saw that, and I said, ooh. I didn't think they'd go to it yet, but it kind of makes sense because Danielson's been name-dropping people like Lee Moriarty, who he wrestled, and he's name-dropped Daniel Garcia as someone that he would love to be in a faction with and take him under his wing, so it kind of made sense that they would do this now. And I still hope that idea is alive. You know, Garcia, they get him away from 2.0, and coming out of Revolution, however things go with Danielson and Moxley, that we do get an alliance of sorts. We do get a faction, and maybe they take a couple of young bucks, no pun intended, under their wing and try to guide them and mentor them. And Daniel Garcia should absolutely be on that list. But he wanted to find out how violent he could be. So he was looking forward to wrestling him in the ring later on in the show. And he said he would give Jon Moxley his answer following the match. MJF was out next for a very unusual promo segment. Very unusual for MJF. In that we don't usually see a promo segment like this from him. Ever. And also unusual in that it was very much a babyface promo and the crowd wasn't buying it. And the thing about that is, I think that's a great reflection on how fantastic of a douchebag heel that MJF is. That even when he is out there pouring out his heart and soul and seemingly being genuine, he's sharing this personal story about himself and about his childhood and his upbringing and something that happened to him that was very hurtful to him earlier in his life. The people in the crowd didn't really know how to react to it, and so the default reaction was to boo. And it's not, you know, a situation where it makes it a bad segment. I just think it reflects on the fact that MJF is probably the best fucking heel in the entire business. People hate this man's guts. Even in a promo like this, where at one point he said, I love AEW just like all of you, and again, pouring out his heart and soul, people still couldn't bring themselves to cheer for him because they fucking hate his guts. You don't see heel heat like that very much these days in wrestling. You have the cool heels who will go out there, and people like them, and they'll get cheered. MJF is maybe one of the only guys I can think of. Yeah, maybe The Miz is the other one. Baron Corbin. There are some people that people just absolutely hate and they will not cheer for them. Miz is on that, or not Miz, but MJF is on that very, very short list. He may be at the top of that list. So I actually think it just proves how great of a heel he really is. But these people didn't seem to believe a thing that came out of his mouth. He comes to the ring and the crowd is chanting for CM Punk. And MJF still has this very downtrodden look on his face. You know, when Punk chose the dog collar stipulation for their match at Revolution, MJF was speechless. He was without speech. He had nothing to say. He looked scared. He looked intimidated. And that was basically the same look he had on his face, you know, when he came out here for this segment here. So he comes down to the ring. He said, once upon a time, he liked CM Punk too, because he could hear all the CM Punk chants. He said, once upon a time, I also like CM Punk. I used to be a CM Punk fan too. And he remembered the time that Punk posed for that photograph with him when MJF was just a kid. And, you know, Punk showed the photo on TV last week. And he recalled Punk saying that to him, it was just another Friday. Remember in the promo, Punk said, you know, to you, it was the biggest moment of your life. To me, it was Friday. And MJF brought that up. And he said, you know, people don't understand his upbringing, but he lived for pro wrestling, just like all of us. And he loves AEW, just like all of us. Talked about having severe ADD as a child, and he got some boos for it. Now, he wasn't booed out of the building, but again, people, they didn't really know how to take it because they think he's full of shit, which he is. The character is full of shit. I don't doubt that any of the stuff he was talking about here is true. And in fact, as I'm going along here, and I'm going to tell you some of the details of this story, MJF has told this story before, the one that I'm about to get into here. So I 100% believe that this is something that actually legitimately happened to him. But in terms of his on-screen persona in AEW, there isn't a single person in that building in Bridgeport who bought what he was selling. Because they were just waiting for him to swerve everybody and laugh in their face. Because that's what he does. Right? He thumbs his nose and looks down at everybody. They were just waiting for the punchline, but it never came. But he got booed for having ADD as a kid. He also got some boos in this promo when he called himself Jewish. And he said, you know, we have any Jews in the crowd. And again, he got some boos. This was quite the segment here, I must say, and quite the reaction here from the people in Connecticut. He said he was one of two Jewish kids who tried out for his varsity football team, and he remembered his new teammates walking up to him in the hallway at school the next day, and he said that he was excited because he thought that they were going to finally be friends. You know, he's going to make new friends. Instead, they took rolls of quarters, and they threw them at him as hard as they possibly could. They took these quarters, and they threw them at MJF. And they told him to pick up the quarters. They said, hey, Jew boy, pick up those quarters. And he said he cried his eyes out, but he also knew that he was going to be meeting his hero that night, CM Punk, which is where that photograph came from. He knew he was going to be meeting CM Punk. He said that night meant everything to him, and he vowed to be just like Punk, and he said he would become the best in the world. And he said he got stronger and faster. He had scholarship offers coming his way. This was in 2013. But all he wanted was to be a pro wrestler like his hero, CM Punk. And he got very emotional while he talked about practicing promos in the mirror at home until his voice got hoarse and he couldn't even speak anymore. He said Punk left him and everybody else in 2014 when he walked away. He walked away from people like MJF, who looked up to him and loved him and respected him. And he let all of these people down. He let MJF down as well. And MJF said he remembers seeing a photo of Punk shaking hands with Bryan Danielson. I think I know exactly the photo he's talking about from Ring of Honor. And he remembers the photo on an Instagram account that he was following or that he came across called the Wrestling Classic. And he was livid. And he promised himself that he would become the best in the world in spite of CM Punk. And he vowed to himself that he would not leave a bullied fan high and dry like Punk did to him. And he said that he would bleed buckets at Revolution and Punk would choke him with the chain, but he won't quit because then he would be no better than CM Punk. And he threw the microphone down. And it's not just what he said in the promo. He fucking nailed this thing because, again, I don't doubt the story with the roll of quarters and all that. I don't doubt that it's the truth because he's told that story numerous times before, including in a promo he did once before, many years ago, in MLW. And I believe he also told a promo in AEW in the early days of the company on an episode of Dark, I believe. He told a similar version of the promo, the football players, the roll of quarters, hey, Jew boy, crying his eyes out. So he's been consistent in this story now for many years. And he has also, you know, done media interviews in the past talking about, you know, the anti-Semitism that he faced, you know, coming up as a kid and I don't get the sense that that's the kind of thing that he would make up. And occasionally, you know, on Twitter, when there is a story about anti-Semitism or something like that, and he responds to it, it's not in a joking way or anything like that. He takes that shit seriously. So I have no doubt that those things happen to him. And I think if he thinks about it in his mind, it's like a method actor. He probably thinks about it. And his eyes were all red. Tears were coming down his eyes. Because he probably in his mind went back to that place and it. You know, it's obviously a painful memory for him. So it's like, hey, I gotta start crying on TV. Let me go think of this shitty moment in my life. It'd be like standing in the middle of the ring and you have to do a promo and you know that you have to get emotional during the promo. Not everybody can just cry on command, though. It's not an easy thing to do, unless you're Ric Flair. So you might have to go back in your memory bank and think about your dog, Petey Pockets or something, who got run over by a mail truck many years ago. And the mailman didn't realize it, you know, and put the truck in reverse and backed up over the poor thing. And, you know, you remember this as a horrible memory. And every time you think about Petey Pockets, you know, it makes you want to cry. So you're standing in the middle of the ring doing a promo, but you're thinking of, you know, Petey Pockets. Because you need the tears to come streaming down your face. I think that's what we got. This was his Petey Pockets moment here in this promo. CM Punk walked out. No music. CM Punk walks out. And he's got this just incredulous look on his face. This look of bewilderment is on his face. He can't believe what he just heard. He can't believe what he's hearing. And he gets up on the apron and he is staring at MJF, who's trying not to make eye contact with him. He's like sheepishly looking down at the mat. And he's kind of off mic. You can pick up what he's saying. He's looking at MJF and going, is it real? What you just said, is that true? Is that real? And MJF looks at him and goes, yeah, it's real. And he leaves the ring. And he walks. And as he's walking up the ramp, you could see tears coming down his face. And Punk is just standing there. And again, he looks shocked. And that was the entire segment. That's all that segment had to be. That's all that segment had to be. One of the things I was left with when it was over, when this segment came to an end, and I'm watching this and I'm thinking, MJF, and I said this years ago, when MJF first started really kind of getting over in AEW, MJF one day is going to be the hottest babyface in the entire business. And that's wherever he is. If he's in AEW, if he goes to WWE, wherever it is. He's going to be the hottest babyface in wrestling. I hope that is not anytime soon. He should not be a babyface anytime soon. But this, I think, showed you the potential that's there for him to be a big babyface at some point. It would be ridiculous, though, to even think about turning him babyface in the next 2 or 3 years. But the potential is there, and you saw it here in this segment. Look. I think we have one more week. Is it one more Dynamite or two? I think it's one left until Revolution. The material may have been real. I think we can see where this is going next week. It's going to end with him laughing in CM Punk's face. He managed to convince Punk on this show that what he said was from the heart and he was genuine about it. And he's fucking with Punk's head. Playing mind games. He's trying to mind fuck CM Punk. And we'll get the big reveal next week. But I thought his performance and his delivery here in this segment was fantastic. But you can see why the crowd, it was as if they didn't know how to react. Their natural instinct is to just boo and assume that everything coming out of this man's mouth is 100% bullshit. But that's why he's so good at what he does. You don't find too many people like that in wrestling these days who commit to it the way that MJF does. I respect that. I respect the hustle. We had the Kings of the Black Throne, Malakai Black and Brody King against Pac and Penta, but not just any Penta. It was Penta Oscuro. Pentagon Dark is back As a big fan of his in Lucha Underground, I was very excited when we saw that vignette a couple of weeks ago of him in the graveyard with the shovel. Pentagon Dark is here. Now, he's not out there breaking arms the way he was in Lucha Underground. He doesn't have Vampiro with him. He's got Alex. I mean, Alex seems like a nice guy, but, you know, a bit of a downgrade from Vampiro in the role, but nonetheless. Alex Abrahantes, by the way. So Penta comes out, and he had an awesome entrance here in this match. Alex is with him. Alex is out there dressed like something out of Ghosts and Goblins, if you remember the old NES game. He's out there dressed like a fucking vampire or a goblin or something. Pentagon's out there in his black Pentagon Dark outfit, and he's got a shovel, and they had like a mock headstone in the aisleway. So really, really badass entrance for him here. By the way, I would love to see, here's what I want Alex to do. Because I've mentioned before, Alex, if you're ever flipping channels and you come across QVC and you kind of blink twice, like, I know that guy. Alex is the HP guy. He's the Hewlett-Packard guy. He's on there selling computers and laptops and stuff for HP. That's his other gig. And I flip around sometimes and I'm like looking, oh, is Alex on? I want him to sell me a computer. I want him to go his next QVC gig, probably in the next few days. I just want him to show up on QVC for his next gig to sell the next laptop dressed exactly the way that he was on this show. I don't want him to give a heads up to anybody. I don't want him to tell anybody. I just want them to go, and now we go back to Alex, who's with us, to talk to us about HP. And you put him on camera, and he's sitting at home, and he's dressed like a fucking goblin. And he doesn't say anything to anybody. He just goes into cell mode. That's what I want to see. I want to see the reaction on the host's faces. I bet you he sells some computers. Who wouldn't want to buy a computer from a guy who's dressed like a fucking vampire? I mean, come on. So Pac hit Malakai Black with a 450 splash. The bell rings. We're literally 5 seconds into this match. And Pac hits him with a 450 splash. And Malakai kicks out. Brody King tags in. He took Pac down with a big clothesline ahead of a commercial break. And they come back from commercial. And Brody King, who's a big man. Brody King's a big dude. They come back and he hits a tope. Because everybody has to dive, right? Lance Archer says, everybody dies. It's not everybody dies. It's everybody dives. That's just the way it is. Alex was dressed as a Sith Lord. He looked like a goblin to me. Whatever. Put it this way. He looked evil, right? Whether it's a Sith Lord, whether it's a vampire. Pentagon Dark here. Alex had to be equally evil on this show. I want him to show up on QVC looking evil. We got four. I'm told we have 40 likes or so until we hit 300. So let's get there. Let's speed that up. You know where to put that thumbs up. Let's go. So Malakai and Brody, they go for Dante's Inferno. Pac breaks it up. Pac hits pump kicks, German, on Brody King. And Malakai Black made a blind tag. So he went for the mist at the finish, right? He went to go spit the black mist. Penta, though, covered his mouth. He covered Black's mouth at the very last second. And then he rolled him up for the quick pin, which was kind of a clever finish. A roll-up, but nonetheless, I mean, we've not seen somebody do that to Malakai Black before. He's lying on the mat, and he is choking on the mist that he couldn't spit. So he's lying, he's dying on the mat. Brody King wipes out Pac and Penta. He attacks them from behind. No time for the babyfaces to celebrate. Like, as soon as they win, Brody King wipes them both out and just starts beating the crap out of them. Malakai goes outside the ring, and he shoves Alex, the Sith Lord, down on the floor. And he grabs the shovel that Penta had brought out with him to the ring. Yes, I agree, Ed Weber. Ed Weber says almost 1,000 in this chat. 300 is a low block. Well, you got to start low. You start with 300 likes, then you graduate to 4, then 5, then 6. I set a low bar here, because then you could just keep raising the bar, right? It's one of Hulk Hogan's favorite expressions, whenever he would show up in a new company. Remember when he went to TNA? We're going to raise the bar, brother. We're going to raise the bar. I don't know that he actually did that. That's what we do around here. We try to raise the bar. So he grabs the shovel, does Malakai, and brings it into the ring. He lifts the shovel up. Pentagon is on the mat, and he lifts the shovel up as if he's going to try to decapitate this man with this thing. The lights go out, and Tony Khan gets a tingle up his leg. Anytime the lights go out, he loves that, right? Lights go out. And they're out for a while. The lights come back on, and when they do, we see Buddy Matthews standing in the corner, looking jacked. Malakai Black now drops to the mat in shock and awe and fear, I guess. He can't believe what he is seeing. Obviously, he has quite the history with Buddy Matthews, both in and out of WWE on the independents since they both left. This got a holy shit chant. Matthews confronted Malakai. It was kind of teasing that he was going to attack him before the big swerve. And he attacked Penta instead. Brody King wiped out all these security geeks that were being sent down. He wiped them all out one by one. He pulled chairs out from under the ring, brought them into the ring, and Black got up in Matthews' face. He gets up in Buddy Matthews' face, and he tells him what he needs to do. There's a chair on the mat. Matthews is in the ring. He's got Penta in front of him. And Malakai is telling him what he has to do, and it took me back to Seth Rollins as the Messiah. It's almost like Buddy Matthews is right back where he was before, only instead of being subservient to Seth Rollins, now he's going to be subservient to Malakai Black. Because remember, Seth had him do the same exact thing, I think, to the Mysterios, or try to, in WWE, back in the Performance Center era of Monday Night Raw, where he wanted him to take his eyeball out on the ring steps. Shout out to Steven Chappa, who says, fuck Bully Ray. He loves that. Bully Ray, Bully the Clown, super chat. Steven Chappa says it is time to send in the clown. Bully the Clown. Thank you, Steven, for the $30 Bully the Clown drop. That is one of our super chats down in the description below for those who are new here. I know we have a bunch of new subscribers here tonight. So Matthews has been given his marching orders, and he grabs Penta's arms and extends them outward in position for a curb stomp. Funny enough, I just mentioned Seth Rollins. And he delivers a curb stomp to Penta on the steel chair. And so, boom, face first, down into the chair. I thought it was a little weird. The lights went out. And when the lights finally come back on, Matthews is gone. Malakai is gone. Brody King is gone. Pentagon, though, who was the one who just got curb stomped onto a chair, is the one who is in the ring crawling over to Pac to check on Pac to make sure he's okay. But Penta is the one who got curb stomped onto the chair. That was a little fucking weird. I'm not going to lie. That was a little strange. Should have been the other way around. But I said it last week when the rumors started that Buddy Matthews was a target of AEW's and they wanted to bring him in. He's a solid pickup for them. He's not going to be a game changer right out of the gate or anything like that because he was never positioned as one in WWE. So why would anybody look at him and go, oh my God, you know, Buddy Matthews is here. He's going to have the chance now, I would hope, to show people what he can do. You know, character-wise now, he's going to be part of the House of Black. So character-wise, we'll see what's in store for him. You know, I like him being part of this group. I like him being aligned with Malakai. But they're going to have to do something a little bit different because, again, I just mentioned, it kind of reminds me of what he was doing with Rollins on Raw. And so I hope whatever it is, they have him doing a little bit more here in AEW. But I think it's a great spot for him to be in here right out of the gate. Ever since he left WWE. He's been on the independents. Yeah, you know, he did wrestle Okada, the Battle in the Valley, back in November. Had a great match with him. But he's been on the independents, and it's funny enough, the one Buddy Matthews match that I had a chance to call for House of Glory was against Malakai Black. So these two, like I said, have great chemistry together, whether it's against each other or now they're going to be working together. But he's been calling himself, one of the nicknames he uses is Secret No More. Well, he's not going to be a secret anymore. People are going to have a chance to see what he can really do, and we'll see how far, you know, he can get. But I like the pairing here, and the House of Black continues to grow. They continue to get larger. I don't know if they're going to continue to add members or not. I think I kind of like what they have now. But the House of Black continues to grow. We have Chris Jericho and Eddie Kingston out for a face-to-face confrontation in the ring with four security dweebs standing in the background, which Eddie Kingston did not like. He wanted to know, why are these men here? Jericho is out there wearing purple sneakers, which should be enough to get him heel heat all by himself. Just the fact that he was wearing Barney the Dinosaur sneakers here. Otherwise, Jericho looked to be, he looked to be in good shape. You know, he's got the shirt open with the six pack, and he's, you know, looking like he's been pumping some iron or something behind the scenes. Once we get him in the ring, though, at Revolution, we'll see. We'll see after 5 minutes in the ring how this guy looks. But Kingston said he was sick of hearing Jericho's thong. Everybody sings to massage his ego. Said he's not here to do sports entertainment. That's in the other place because they're in Connecticut. We're not that far away. That's what they do. That's not what I do. I'm a professional wrestler. I'm not here to do sports entertainment. And Jericho said, you know, we are down the road from Stanford. And so maybe I will give you some sports entertainment. Only this sports entertainment will be better than what you would get from the other place. Again, we can leave the digs aside. They were in Connecticut, so, you know, whatever. He wanted to make a little dig. Jericho admitted that, you know, when Eddie got signed by AEW, he had no idea who he was. He had never heard of him before. He didn't know. He couldn't have picked him out of a lineup. He did not know who he was. He heard the name, and the first thing he thought of was Eddie Edwards. He thought he was Eddie Edwards, who I think just had a big heel turn over on Impact Wrestling, if I'm not mistaken. He thought all the talk about him, you know, was overblown because he didn't really know a whole hell of a lot about him. He knew he was around for a while, but he had never really gotten any higher than a certain level. And he said when he first saw him, he thought he looked like a jobber. Let's be honest. He's not wrong. That's not really an untrue statement. I mean, Eddie Kingston is not out there to be a fashion model. Nobody is going to look at Eddie Kingston and say that, boy, that guy's got the superstar look. Eddie Kingston is a superstar, but it's not because of how he looks. It's not because of how he dresses, his gear. Eddie Kingston is a superstar because he's genuine. He comes across as the real deal. He is the genuine article. He is who he is, as he said in this promo. And that's hard to come by in wrestling. And in a time where there's so many characters and people trying to be something that they're not and sounding completely, insincere and sounding robotic or whatever the case may be, Eddie Kingston does not come across as any of those things. When Eddie Kingston is out there, it doesn't feel like someone playing a part. It feels like he's out there being himself. That's what makes him a star. And that's what made this segment work so well. I didn't think I was going to end up liking this segment as much as I ended up liking this segment. He said Eddie didn't make it to the big time until he was 38 years old, but Jericho made it to the big time when he was 22. By 38, he said he had already been a world champion. He had made millions of dollars, and he said Eddie was just jealous of him. He said deep down inside, Eddie doesn't believe that he could ever be at Jericho's level. And Kingston said that the only reason that Jericho headlined in all these different places is because he wasn't there. He said Jericho leeches off others. He doesn't leech off others, all the young talent, the way that Jericho does. He wants to fight. He says he wants to fight Jericho at Revolution. Jericho said that Eddie has achievement-phobia, which is a fear of success. I'm not sure if that's a real thing or not. Perhaps somebody can look it up and let me know. Is there such a thing as achievement-phobia? I'm not sure about that. I've heard of arachnophobia. I've heard of agoraphobia. I've heard of Monday Night Raw phobia, but I've never heard of achievement-phobia, so perhaps somebody can let me know if that's a real thing. He says, you consider your destiny to be one of a failure. He goes, I've read up about you. You know, obviously he read that Players Tribune article that Kingston did. He said Eddie's uncle was his first hero, and he was a failure. He said Eddie believed in his own father, and he was a failure. And deep down, he thinks that he's a failure as well. He said Eddie's problem is that he can't win the big one. And when you face Chris Jericho, when you challenge me at Revolution, he goes, I'm the big one. Not the world champion Hangman Page, not Jon Moxley, not Bryan Danielson, me. I'm the big one. He goes, you want me at Revolution, you got it. He said May 6th. At first he said May 6th, and then he quickly corrected himself and said March 6th. And May 6th too, why not? Why not? The day after Cinco de Mayo, these guys can have the rematch. So March 6th, May 6th, these two are going to go one-on-one. Eddie said he doesn't want the Jericho from the Mimosa match. He doesn't want the Jericho that went off the cage by MJF. Give me the Jericho that won the world title in this company at the very beginning. Give me the Jericho that bled buckets in Tennessee. Give me the Jericho that went to war with Tenryu in the war promotion in Japan. Give me the Jericho that turned WCW on its side, upside down, he said. Give me the Jericho that Levesque hated. Because if you don't, I'm going to eat you alive. And I think they could have ended the segment right there. That would have been the perfect point to end the segment. But Jericho had to continue, and he closed things out by calling Eddie a loser and reiterating that he can't win the big one. So it took Eddie Kingston to get me invested in something that Chris Jericho is doing on AEW television. That right there is what makes Eddie Kingston a miracle worker, is that he has gotten me invested and interested in seeing this match at Revolution. I thought Eddie was fantastic here, and you know, it also, look, it just proves what I've been saying, what I already knew, which is that it's time. It's been time for at least a few months now, for Jericho to swing back in the heel direction, because Jericho played his part very well. He was the smug jerk in this segment, and I thought he played his part to a T. So I'm looking forward to seeing these two have a good old-fashioned brawl. I'm not expecting a technical masterpiece. I'm expecting a brawl between these two at Revolution. And the other thing I really like is the whole Eddie can't win the big one story, because if they want to take this all the way, I'm talking long term, over a period of many, many months, there is a story here that you can tell, because Eddie Kingston is beloved. Eddie Kingston is very well liked by the AEW fan base and very well respected. I don't see Eddie Kingston necessarily becoming AEW world champion, although you could certainly put the title on him for, you know, a few weeks or a month if you wanted to. I'm not saying I see that. But you could build to him even winning the TNT championship. You know, Eddie, you can't win the big one. You can't win the big one. And building to him winning the big one day. And the people, I think, would get behind him, and the people would buy into it because they like him. And it's a story as old as time. You know, the aging veteran who's either trying to get back past glory or trying to get to the top of the mountain where he's never been able to get to before. You know, it's a very simple story, but I think it's one that if they want to, beyond the Jericho match, they could tell that story. I'm not even sure he'll beat Jericho. I think he should. I think you got to throw a big win his way at some point, because he doesn't win a lot of big matches, right? He didn't beat Miro. He didn't beat Punk. And he was in the ring with Danielson as well. You know, Jericho can lose. I mean, Eddie can lose too, but I think Eddie would benefit by the win more than Jericho would. Now, Jericho, if he is going full-on heel, which he basically was, the heel in this segment, he probably cheats to win, to get, you know, he does something by nefarious means to get the win. But I do think long-term, an Eddie Kingston winning the big one storyline that pays it off in that way is something fans, I think, can get invested in. Backstage, Matt Hardy said Andrade would bring the TNT Championship to the Andrade Hardy family office on Rampage this Friday because he is challenging Sammy Guevara for the title. You know, I saw Sammy's vlog, and Sammy got a scratched cornea in the match with Darby Allin last week. When Darby had him in the figure four leg lock, or maybe he had Darby in the figure four, and they started throwing slaps at each other, Darby, I guess, hit him in such a way where he scratched Sammy's eye. And apparently it's a very painful injury, so he has not been able to open his eyes. And the whole blog, you know, he and Ty Conti are together, and so she had to basically feed him, and, you know, they got McDonald's in their hotel room or something, and she's, like, feeding him chicken nuggets, and he's in the airport. He can't open his fucking eyes, because apparently it's his other eye is fine, but if he opens the other eye, the other one ends up hurting, so that's a pretty shitty injury there. So I guess they think, though, he'll be fine. I guess he is fine, because if they're taping Rampage tonight, they're taping a match with him and Andrade. So I assume he's got his vision back at this point, but that does not seem like a very fun injury. But the key part of this segment is he called for himself, Andrade, and Isaiah Cassidy to face Sting, Darby Allin, and Sammy Guevara in a Tornado Trios match at Revolution. And I don't doubt that that could turn out to be a fun match. And I guess it's the logical place to put Sting and Darby, because otherwise, what do they do? But I was kind of hoping that we were going towards a three-way for the TNT title. You get Sammy in the ring with Andrade and with Darby. I think that would have been a hell of a triple threat. And instead, it looks like they're going to go with the trios match. We had the FTW champion, Ricky Starks. Shout out, by the way, to all of our new subs. I love that. Every time you see Asuka, give the thumbs up on screen. We got a new channel subscriber. So welcome to all of our new subscribers. Ricky Starks, non-title, representing Team Taz one-on-one against Preston Vance, number 10 of the Dark Order, in a Face of the Revolution ladder match qualifier. We already know who's qualified for Revolution. Keith Lee is in, Wardlow is in, and Powerhouse Hobbs, the other member of Team Taz, have already qualified for the ladder match. That's a lot of beef in that match. This did not last very long. Ten got Starks up for a delayed vertical suplex ahead of a picture-in-picture break. They come back from break. Ten locked on the full Nelson. Starks fought out of it, though, by grabbing at Ten's mask. And I guess he kind of turned it sideways where he couldn't see. And Ricky hit the ropes and came off and cut him down with a spear and got the pin. So Ricky Starks has qualified. He advances to Revolution. That puts two members of Team Taz in the ladder match. Two members who are also very unlikely to win, I think, the ladder match. Although I would certainly not mind Ricky Starks challenging for the TNT title. I don't know that I would call either of those guys the favorite at the moment, but we also don't know who the other participants are going to be. Are they having six? Are they having eight? I assume it's six. We only have four. Who are the other two? We don't know yet. Backstage, Fish and O'Reilly were talking about their Battle Royal win with Adam Cole when the Bucks showed up and he accused them of a double cross. They were not very happy about what happened in the end of the Battle Royal. And the Bucks talked about winning next week's Battle Royal so that they could earn a spot in that tag team title match at Revolution, and then they can kick Fish and O'Reilly's asses. And the Bucks walked away. Adam Cole yelled at Fish and O'Reilly saying, "We have to get along. We have to get along." Jade Cargill against the Bunny for the TBS Championship. Bunny avoided a strike, ended up whiplashing Jade's neck over the ropes before sending her into the barricade. Bunny landed a knee lift, and Jade caught a Fez press, turned it into a spine buster. Matt Hardy had come down. Matt Hardy distracted the referee. And the Bunny got the brass knuckles. That's kind of her thing. She uses the brass knucks in her matches. Jade, though, was given the TBS championship. And so when the Bunny came in with the brass knucks, Jade held up the TBS title. The knucks went into the title. I guess the title trumps the knucks. And so that didn't really work. That wasn't very effective. At that point, Mark Sterling was ejected. Matt Hardy was ejected from ringside. Bunny rolled Jade up for two, but Jade countered her down the rabbit hole finish that she attempted. She countered that into the Jaded, which is her finish. And she picked up the win. That is win number 28. Jade Cargill is now 28-0, undefeated here in AEW. And she asked then, when the match was over, She's 28-0. I'm going to be 50-0. I'm going to be 100-0. She goes, who's next? Which, of course, got Chance of Goldberg. Where's my voodoo doll? Don't let Tony Khan get any fucking ideas here. You know, Goldberg now is a free agent. That was the last match last weekend on his WWE contract. As of this moment, he's free and clear to go where he wants. Don't get any ideas now. I don't have my voodoo doll laying around here. So she said, better yet, it's not even who's next, it's who's left. That's when they played Ty Conti's music and she came out. She said, not only is she next, but she's the one that's going to beat your ass, bitch. There's that word again. I'm going to beat your ass, bitch. She came down to the ring and got right up in Jade's face. The bunny tried attacking Ty because they have issues in the past. She tried attacking Ty Conti from behind. Conti put her down. Jade then took out Conti with a pump kick. And a Jay ran out with a chair to chase off Jade. And I assume this TBS title match is being set up for the pay-per-view, I assume. Jade still has a tendency in her matches at times to look like she is moving through quicksand. You know, some of the stuff that she does looks a little on the slow side. But she's improving. I feel like she's getting a little bit better and a little bit better, a little more sure of herself each time. And, you know, maybe some of that behind-the-scenes mentoring from Bryan Danielson is paying off here. But I just think naturally, over time, the more that she's practicing and doing it, she'll improve and get better. So you're seeing that. She's not there yet. But I feel like each time there's some noticeable improvements that are being made in her matches. Keith Lee was backstage, I guess back from his honeymoon with Mia Yim, and he was in the back being interviewed by Alex Marvez about the Face of the Revolution ladder match and all of the other participants. Ricky Starks walked up with Powerhouse Hobbs, and he had some choice words for Keith Lee. And we had a little bit of a stare down between Keith Lee and Powerhouse Hobbs, which was pretty cool. So I am looking forward to those two guys locking up for the first time in the ladder match of Revolution. James says that Jade Cargill is the ultimate warrior of AEW. Interpret that however you will. She's a homophobe? I didn't know that. Now, Ultimate Warrior was one of the top stars in the business at one point. He headlined a WrestleMania. He was a former WWF champion. So if I'm Jade Cargill, you can take that either way. You could take that as a compliment or you could take that as an insult. But she is. She's improving a little bit more each time. But is she completely seasoned? You know, does the meat need to stay on the grill for a little while longer until it's ready? Yes. She's not there yet. But she is improving. She is getting better. Main event was Daniel Garcia. Main event Daniel strikes again. He's got more main events on this show than people who should actually be in main events on this show. But they see a huge upside, obviously, in him. He went one-on-one with Bryan Danielson, the American Dragon. The crowd was not hot for this at all. Which was unfortunate because this is a match that I was looking forward to. And it felt rushed, like, again, maybe they were pressed for time. There was a commercial break in there. It wasn't like it went 2 minutes long. I mean, they gave them, I want to say 6 or 7 minutes probably is about how long the match went, but you know, the crowd didn't care. You know, the crowd was very quiet for this match. I don't know if if it was just their unfamiliarity with Daniel Garcia. He's had a lot of matches, though. I mean, it's not like he hasn't been on TV. But by no means is he looked at as a main eventer. So that's what's going to happen when you put him in main events, depending on who he's in the ring with. You know, he was in the ring with a pretty big name here, but they didn't treat the match in that way. People didn't seem as excited about the prospects of this match as I was. I was looking forward to this when they announced it earlier today. But anyway, so Garcia was out wrestling Danielson through the final commercial break. They come back from break, and Danielson hits a tiger suplex, transitions into the cattle mutilation. Garcia counters out of it, got an ankle lock applied. Danielson escaped. He smacked him across the face, tried to wake him up. And Garcia reciprocated, did the same to him. And Brian ended up getting him down on the mat, started stomping away at his head. He got the triangle sleeper locked in with the legs, did the trademark double bicep pose, and Daniel Garcia went nighty-night. And Brian Danielson got the win via ref stoppage. So there really wasn't a whole lot to the match. You know, there really, we've seen Brian have TV matches longer than this with whether it was Eddie Kingston or even Lee Moriarty and people like that. I'm assuming they were pressed for time. Frankly, even if the match had five more minutes, I'm not sure that the crowd would have really cared. They just didn't really seem to give a shit about this. And I think they were just waiting for John Moxley to come out because they knew Brian Danielson had said, I'm going to have an answer for Moxley. And they're probably looking at the clock going, all right, the show's going to be over soon. Let's get Moxley out here. And they got Moxley. Brian got on the mic and he asked the fans if they thought Garcia was violent enough. What do you think, guys? Is this guy violent enough? And then he was immediately attacked from behind by the members of 2.0. John Moxley's music hits. He comes out through the crowd into the ring. He sends Matt Lee out over the top, Jeff Parker out over the top. So this, two times on this show, 2.0 got eliminated over the top rope. Daniel Garcia ate a paradigm shift for his troubles. Moxley and Brian, they came face to face. We got chance of this is awesome. So this the crowd cared about. So this goes to my point. They didn't give a shit about Daniel Garcia. They were here to see the stars. They wanted to see Moxley and Brian face-to-face in the ring. Once they went face-to-face, they reacted. They woke up. They cared. They gave a shit. So, in order for us to fight together, this is what Danielson said, in order for us to fight together, we need to bleed together. Right? That's what Danielson had heard from John Moxley last week. And he dumped the chair out because Danielson had a chair in his hand. He dumped it aside. He said, I don't need this to make anybody bleed. He goes, you want a match at Revolution? You got it. But he said, don't be surprised if you're the only person bleeding. And the crowd loved this. And so now we have the official announcement that it will be Brian Danielson one-on-one at Revolution on March 6th against John Moxley. That's your co-main event underneath Hangman Page and Adam Cole for the AEW World Championship, CM Punk and MJF in the dog collar match. Yeah, I guess you can make the argument that you've got three main event level matches on this show. Those are your top three matches on the card. Eddie Kingston's going to have his confrontation one-on-one, his match, brawl, whatever, against Chris Jericho. We know Jurassic Express defending the tag team titles against Red Dragon and very likely the Young Bucks. Apparently not going to get a TNT title match. Probably going to get a trios match involving those guys. Face of the Revolution ladder match. We have four names of the six or eight or however many there's going to be. Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa for the AEW Women's Championship. I said it the other night. It doesn't feel like the right time. It's the right time for the match. Not the right time to take that title off Britt Baker. So she could get the win. She could cheat to win. She could have her pals help her out, whatever it is. I wouldn't do the title change or Revolution. It feels too premature. I think you could drag this out either until Double or Nothing, or it was pointed out to me by somebody on Twitter, and shout out to that person. I didn't write their name down, but they pointed out that I think a couple of weeks after Revolution, I believe Dynamite is coming to San Antonio, which is where Thunder Rosa is. I think that's where her Mission Pro Wrestling events, I believe, are held as well. So it would be like a homecoming for her. I don't know if I'm going to feel any differently 2 weeks later than I do now. It still feels a little early. And I think you could extend it out even further. But yes, you could do that. You can have Britt Baker retain at the pay-per-view and then drop it to Thunder Rosa in the main event on Dynamite in her hometown. Get a big, you know, hometown babyface reaction for winning the championship. You could do that. But to do the title change of Revolution, I don't see it. Doesn't feel like the right time to me. This Friday on Rampage, we have another qualifier. It's going to be Orange Cassidy against Anthony Bowens, qualifier for the Face of the Revolution ladder match. Serena Deeb is going to have another one of her five-minute challenges on that show. Britt Baker, Thunder Rosa, going to have their contract signing for Revolution. Sammy Guevara and Andrade one-on-one for the TNT Championship. Next Wednesday on Dynamite, back at Daly's place, back home in Jacksonville. Battle Royal number 2. And the other match being promoted is a trios tag match, Hangman Page, John Silver, and Alex Reynolds against Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Bill O'Reilly. And so that is coming up on Dynamite, or I'm sorry, Kyle O'Reilly. Everyone's like, whoa, what was that? Did they announce a special guest on Dynamite next week? No, Kyle O'Reilly. I have to say this. I have one major critique. It annoyed the shit out of me. It annoys the shit out of me every week, but it was really noticeable and really bad at the end of this show. And I'm not blaming Excalibur for it. I know that he's got probably somebody in his ear. He's getting time cues. He's being rushed. This is an every week occurrence, and this was the worst week yet. When they have Excalibur make the match announcements for Rampage and for Dynamite, this guy rushes through these matches. I'm surprised that he doesn't trip over his own words. I'm surprised anybody can even process in their head what he is even saying. Oh, wait, what was that match that he said? How is anybody even able to keep track of all of this? He is speeding as fast as he possibly can. If he was driving on the highway with a 50-mile-an-hour speed limit, he'd be 50 miles over the speed limit. Trying to speed read and get everything in. This is every week. It's ridiculous. Cut time from some other part of the show if you have to. Let him make his announcements and let the match announcements breathe so people can process what they're hearing. It's ridiculous. Even if I didn't have to take notes here, it would annoy the fuck out of me equally the same. It's not his fault. It's whoever's timing the show out, Tony Khan or whoever it is. Let the guy breathe as he makes the announcements. My God, how does anybody keep track of anything he says? It's ridiculous. It sounds like somebody who should be doing, he should be like an auctioneer or something. Like Brock Lesnar did his auctioneer voice when he was on the Pat McAfee show, because they used to have auctions, I guess, back on the farm when he was younger. Slow the fuck down. Give the guy a chance to speak. My God. Anyway, let's take a look at the Twitter poll. 88% thumbs up. 11.7% thumbs down. So you guys seem to really love the hell out of this show. Look, I mean, as far as promoting Revolution and getting people interested in the key matches on that card, I thought that they did an excellent job of that tonight. But it was a very angle and promo heavy show, whether it was Jericho and Kingston, whether it was the MJF stuff, whether it was even the very end of the show, which is what people were waiting to see. They didn't care about the match. They wanted to see Danielson face-to-face with Moxley. You know, story time with Adam Page at the beginning of the show. That really was the theme of Dynamite tonight. And still, 88.3% of you gave this show a thumbs up because it was indeed a very good show. Now, I want to go back. Oh, Nick Grosso, thank you. I'll be getting to all your super chats here. If you have questions, anything like that, I'll be getting to that here in a second. But I wanted just to give a shout out to someone who is uber talented and who blew me away with something that they posted online and sent to me this week. I wanted to show you guys this. This is an illustration that was put together by Cobra Arts. A shout out to Cobra Arts at ArtsCobra84 is their handle on Twitter. Take a look at that. Look at the Winged Eagle. The Winged Eagle never looks so good with my trusty voodoo doll in hand. I was blown away by this. This is sick right here. So I want to just thank Cobra again. I already did in private, but thank you very much. I love stuff like this. These illustrations and stuff. Very talented. And has done a lot of other quality work as well. So that is very cool. And this is also quite the sight, I must say. This is this is your commentary team right here for House of Glory. What a tag team this is, huh? Look at that. We got our next show, Salvation, coming up on March 11th. And we got some big matches already announced for that show. Natalia Markova is going to be defending her House of Glory Women's Championship that she just won, her first title defense, and it's against Taya Valkyrie. And the Ring of Honor World Champion, Jonathan Gresham, coming in to challenge Low Key in the main event. That's only the first two matches. Anyway, I thought that was pretty cool. But this is awesome. So shout out to Cobra Arts. Definitely check out at ArtsCobra84 on Twitter for that. That was a very nice surprise to see that artwork. Yeah, I have never looked so good in my entire life. I will say that. I have never looked better than I do there in those images, and I likely never will. So there you go. Those are the illustrations that are the best, the ones that make me look even better than I actually look. Another big announcement that I want to mention here so that everybody is well aware of it, something very cool and very fun, and it's happening tomorrow, less than 24 hours away. Take a look at this. Holy shit. When Worlds Collide. For the first time ever, I am entering the forbidden podcast door to Don Tony's YouTube channel for a special edition of the Don Tony Show tomorrow night live at 8:05 Eastern. So for one night only, we're going to be chatting about the latest news in the world of wrestling. Going to be answering your questions. So it's going to be fun. I'll be on with the Don. 8 o'clock tomorrow night. There it is. Again, that's going to be on his channel. Just search for Don Tony. I'll link to it on Twitter tomorrow. But tomorrow night, 8:05 Eastern. Come hang out. It's going to be fun, man. Worlds collide. I'm telling you, man. Worlds are colliding, man. It's crazy. It is crazy. That's how you can spend your Thursday night. Something you never thought that you would get a chance to see. You're going to get it tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be fun. All right, let's go back here. Check out your Super Chat messages. And I do thank all of you for your support. Whether or not you have a message or a question or just sending in a Super Chat to show some love, I thank you for keeping this channel strong. All the new people who subscribe. Channel memberships open as well. A lot of great content up there, including the first... Currently, I'm going one by one, uploading a lot of the old shows, but the very first 13 shows, the lost episodes, ad-free. First 13 episodes of the Sound Off are up for our Legends tier members, but all channel members get a lot of the other perks on the channel. We're going to be doing another call-in show probably next Thursday is what I'm thinking, probably in a week. I'm going to do another call-in show, and we do video Q&As. We're going to be doing another watch-along next month. Very excited about that one. So you get some perks when you are a channel member. Amiibo, I'm being told that we are, 95 likes away from 500? We can do that. We can hit 500, right? You guys can do that. Can you guys deliver for me? Amiibo... Thank you again. He was at the show with Brian Barsoon. Sixth row with the Solemn Monster sign that I showed you guys on screen earlier. I did catch it. I did see it in the opening segment right behind Hangman Page. So thank you, Amiibo. Food Hive. Main Event Garcia strikes again. Has to be a record. I'm telling you, man. This guy, maybe he's got some dirty pictures of somebody or something. I don't know. They love him. He does get a lot of main event FaceTime. The Mount Vernon Kid. The Alpha with the $5 Super Chat. Man, Penta debuts new gimmick and gets overshadowed by Buddy Matthews. What are your thoughts? I loved it both. I thought it was a great entrance. Badass entrance. Great to see Pentagon Dark back. Not exactly the Pentagon Dark from Lucha Underground, but... I thought he was looking badass, and Buddy Matthews is a solid pickup for them. I think we can enjoy both. I thought it was fine. Let's see, the Mount Vernon Kid again. On a scale of 1 to 10, how dumb does this sound? The Rock is not black because of his tribal tattoos. This was told to my young brother, Hulkling93. The Rock is not black because of his tribal tattoos. That is a pretty fucking stupid thing to say. I would tell your young brother, Hulkling93, who I know eats Magic Spoon. So I know he's a quality dude. Tell him not to listen to such tomfoolery. Anti-M Bishop, $5 super chat. Greetings, Solemn Monster. Tonight was promo heaven on Dynamite. Revolution is must-see TV next weekend. The next House of Glory show equals Goosebumps. All the best. I am very much looking forward to calling that show. And like I said, those are only the first two matches announced. There's more to come. There's more to be announced. B. Vincent 86 sent a $5 super chat. Tonight's show was a little rough, but storylines did get moved along in the right direction. Jay Patterson, I swear Jade Cargill be out there looking like a female version of Super Macho Man from Mike Tyson Punch-Out. Do you believe I only played Punch-Out, I think, once in my life? Like, as popular as that game was, I think I literally played it once. I don't really have too many memories of playing Tyson's Punch-Out, but I know it was huge at the time. So I don't remember what Super Macho Man even looks like. Nick Grosso, $9.99. Very good show tonight. The highlights were the amazing promo. The chants speak for themselves. Thank you, Jared. Always brings a smile to my face when I see Bully the Clown popping up on my screen. But Nick says, very good show tonight. The highlights were the amazing promo by MJF and the Jericho Kingston segment. I don't get why they are doing a six-man tag instead of a TNT title match or Revolution. Well, they got to give Sting and Darby a match on the show. And Andrade has been calling out Mr. Stink for weeks. So what else are they going to do? I guess, right? I mean, Darby would have been in the match. I guess Sting wouldn't have had anything to do. Maybe they want Sting in the match, or... Hey, you're giving me the option? Do I need to see Sting in the ring with Matt Hardy? No. I would rather see a three-way match for the TNT Championship. That's the match that I wish they would do. Maybe they will. It's not official yet, but that seems like they're going in a different direction with it. Quintus Brown, the promo work from everybody was A1 tonight. You know, it's true, and I will also say, you know who else had the, maybe the promo of the week? I'm trying to see if it, I don't know that it would be, I don't know that I would rank it better than MJF's. They were kind of on the same level. But I gotta give props, as I will on the Sunday podcast, to Edge. I thought Edge's promo on Raw last night, or Tuesday night, I should say, or Monday night. What the fuck am I even saying anymore? What day of the week is that show? I don't know. I don't always watch Raw in full on Mondays, as you could tell. I finished the show yesterday, but Edge's promo on Raw was excellent. Yeah, when Edge comes out every few months and he sits in the middle of the ring and the camera zooms in on his face and he just cuts a promo on somebody, he does it better than anybody in wrestling right now. You know, he's tremendous on promos, so give him his props as well. Joseph Brooks, $9.99. Thank you, Joseph. Buy, rent, or sell on these matches based off their styles. Bryan Danielson against Zack Sabre Jr., Ricochet against Will Ospreay, or Moxley against Ishii. So you're basically, you know, you're asking me to rank technical against flying against brawling. And I think I like all of those styles, but if I had to choose which one, it's a good question. I'm trying to think if I prefer one over the other. I probably, you know, if it's me, Party Monster. There you go, Steven. Steven's getting me to dance. Steven's getting me to dance. Look at this. Thank you for the Hardy Monster Super Chat. Those are all great matches, by the way, that you have recommended here. Moxley against Ishii might be the one that I actually want to see the most. I probably would go. I might go technical, brawling, and then flying. Probably in that order, I would say. But I mean, again, I like all those matches. So it's hard for me to say that there's one style that's, you know, universally better than the other. I probably would go technical, brawling, and then flying. Flying would not be my favorite. It's fun to watch, but as a matter of personal taste, yeah, you got to give me more than just flying around. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury. Yes, Maz, I know. I was saying, I know we've seen that match before. And I remember liking it very much. As I did Moxley and Suzuki, I think it was, right? They also, was it in Corican Hall? Might have been the first time that they faced each other. Flamethrower says, what would you think of a Buddy Matthews versus Daniel Garcia match? I think they would tear the house down. Well, not in front of Bridgeport, they wouldn't. I don't know. Bridgeport didn't seem too interested in Daniel Garcia tonight. Now, look, I think that could be a TV match at some point. I think that would be a very good match. Tuxedo T Servo, thank you for the $5. Loki Agatho with the $20 Super Chat spot. At work, not able to listen live, just dropping in to show some support to you and the stream. Loki, thank you. Loki, showing some love. Oh, it was Osaka Joe? Okay. It was Osaka. No, I was aware that they wrestled. In fact, I'm almost positive I reviewed their match on the podcast, so I just don't remember what year it would have been. Let's see. Tonic Blaze. Which chop would you rather receive? Ric Flair or Kenta Kobashi? Oh, in terms of pain, I would happily take Flair's over Kobashi's, but it would be way cooler, I think, to take one from Kobashi than Flair. Bret Hart, dropping $3. Thank you, Bret Hart. I hope that you're nice and baked. Well, not in that way, but or maybe you are. Maybe you are baked in that way. I don't know. I like my bread baked fresh. Rodimus Prime with the $20. Fun show tonight. Only thing that brought it down was the constant picture-in-picture. Really annoying. Plus, your thoughts on the debut of Nikita Lyons on NXT. I will let you know once I catch up on NXT. I have not watched it yet. French Fry Slut. $2 Super Chat. MJF revealing his villain origin story. That's exactly what it was. That is his villain origin story. I like it. Marcus Robinson as Beavis is headbanging there over my super chats. Thank you. Marcus Robinson Johnson. I'm sure it's a swerve, but MJF's promo definitely convinced me that he could be a great babyface one day. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Old Dirty Sausage. I hope we get an Eddie Kingston and MJF feud at some point. Those dudes are a different breed. Thunderblade Liger. Hi, Solomonster. Buy or sell on Booker T's tag team partners in the Ruthless Aggression era. Goldust in 2002 or Rob Van Dam in 2004. Oh, I can't vote against the Goldust team. That was far more entertaining. Far more entertaining. It's not even close, so I am buying on Goldust in 02. I am selling on RVD as his partner in 04. Let's see here. We've got Defined Real. Sent a 1999 Super Chat. MJF's promo is a reason I don't want him in WWE. Because I don't think they'll let him cut that type of promo. Oh, I don't know. I mean, they're a promo. Well, yeah, they probably wouldn't let him on TV calling himself Jew Boy, but I've seen other MJF promos that are far more questionable that whether or not WWE would allow something like that than the one we got tonight. James Cooper, $9.99. If Austin returns for more than just a one-off, would he be a potential opponent for Roman Reigns at SummerSlam? I would think he would have to be. I mean, you have the ability, if Austin comes back for more than one match, and I remain unconvinced that he's coming back for an actual match. I still think he may end up as a referee or something. But if you get Austin back and he is going to wrestle more than one match and he looks reasonably good at WrestleMania, I don't see how you don't build to a Roman Reigns, Stone Cold Steve Austin match, whether it's SummerSlam or some other big show. You know, they got a bunch of stadium shows this summer. Money in the Bank is a stadium show. SummerSlam is a stadium show. They're doing a UK stadium show in September, I think around Labor Day. And if you have the ability to do Austin and Reigns, you do it. You do it. The possibilities are endless. But again, that's predicated on whether or not Austin comes back at all. And if he does, how does he look? How does he feel? We have no idea. The man hasn't wrestled the match in 19 years. You know, it's one thing to be someone like Sting at 62, who's been wrestling consistently for 30 plus years. Even Bill Goldberg. You know, he was gone for a very long time, but even Bill Goldberg has come back to WWE and had how many matches since 2016? He's had a whole bunch of matches. Austin has had none. He's had zero. We don't know what he can do. So it's a big question mark right now. But Austin and Roman Reigns, holy shit. I mean, that would be a marquee match without question. Without a doubt. Groovy Goose, I always thought MJF could do a double turn with somebody. He just needs the right guy. However, I wouldn't do it just yet. Much love, Solomon. Yeah, I would not do it either. I would not do it anytime soon. Nayef Al-Safar, thank you for the $4.99. Appreciate it. Stephen Chappell with the $30 Bully the Clown or Fuck Bully Ray Super Chat from earlier. Wow, we're only first getting to that one now. We got to speed this up here. Nick Grosso has a New Japan question. Are the Gorillas of Destiny out of the Bullet Club? Because from what I saw on Impact, it looks like G.O.D. are out and the Good Brothers are back in. I will tell you that I have not been following the recent events on Impact. Even though I probably should, because you know I know Jay White's been hanging out there. But I have not been keeping up with Impact of late, so I don't know. I don't know what their status is in terms of Bullet Club. I'm not sure. Vitamin Vision, Solo Monsters Voodoo Doll versus Alexa Bliss's Lily Doll. WrestleMania, book it. Yeah, I might have to add them to the Be the Booker animation. Should I put Lily? Should I put Lily the Doll in the female Be the Booker? Drew Johnson, $5 Super Chat. HBK is the GOAT. Brett deserved what he got in 97. And according to Dax Harwood, Shawn Michaels is a two-faced prick. If you saw his interview with Renee Paquette on her podcast. I'm just relaying the news. I'm just relaying the information to you. Jared M. with the $30 Super Chat. Jared, what is going on? What in the hell is going on, Jared? So according to Beowulf, I almost called you Beowulf. Or Beowulf. I saw that in 3D in the movies when it came out. He says, yes, they are out of Bullet Club, G.O.D. is. At least the American faction in Impact. So there's your answer. There you go. Austin Runge says, but he found God. Just because you find God doesn't mean you're still not a prick. Willie Gag and Bob, $2 Super Chat. Brett is, was, and always will be the best. Drew Johnson, Solo Monster, you're that man. Love some Magic Spoon. Hey, don't forget, guys, you can get $5 off that shit. Not 5%, $5. MagicSpoon.com/Solomonster. We got some more fun stuff coming your way in a couple of weeks. Stephen Chappell with the $25 Super Chat. About to get my first Magic... Oh, look at this. About to get my first Magic Spoon order at the end of the week. Pretty amped. You better be using my link and my code. MagicSpoon.com/Solomonster when you check out Punchin' Solomonster. You get $5 off. You can thank me later. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. Very good. Rizzo, $20 super chat. My favorite day of the week and finished the podcast on Monday. I was curious how you feel about EC3 and Braun Strowman's new wrestling promotion. Big deal, small deal, no deal? Not a big deal. You know, it's up to them, I guess. We'll see how big it could get. I don't see it getting very big. I think it'll be a small thing. You know, they might be able to sustain it. It's all about, you know, how many shows are they running? What kind of venues are they running? Can they afford to keep up with it? You know, are they bringing in a lot of talent? I don't know how much interest there's going to be in this, but, you know, I wish them the best. Hopefully it works out. But no, I don't see it being a very big deal. Mr. Notorious Dez just left the show and the crowd was good into the majority of the show. And I got to say, Jade Cargill is gorgeous in person. She is a very beautiful woman. Statuesque, you might even say. Drew Johnson, $5 super chat. CM Punk and MJF are both way better on the mic than Edge. All right. Zombified Guitarist, minus 13 in Billings. Holy shit, Billings, Montana is minus 13 degrees. Heading out to scavenge for some computer towers I've found. Good night and many slams. Well, you better bundle that ass up. Minus 13. You might freeze before you get back. Hitman WA with the $20. Good show tonight. Jericho looking in better shape. The Pac Penta Brody spot with the clothesline was the highlight for me. But overall, a good show with some memorable spots. Enjoying the recap. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Hitman. I will try. Yashvardhan Shekhawat. What is a babyface? I died after that line. From the promo earlier. Well, Yashvardhan, thank you. Thank you for the 50 cents. I appreciate it. Carlos Naftali with the $10. Russo on a pole, bro. Russo on a pole, bro. What's going on, Carlos? It's good to hear from you. Let me put yours up. There we go. There we go. Got to get Carlos on screen here. Would it be weird if Stone Cold really came back to fight at Mania in a mid-card match? I feel his return match should be one of the WrestleMania main events. You know, that's the thing. I mean, I love Kevin Owens, but if you're going to bring back Stone Cold for a main event match at WrestleMania, it's not against Kevin Owens. It's just not. And Owens, I just don't see him headlining over Ronda Rousey on night one. We know Lesnar and Reigns have night two locked up. I just don't see them deviating from the whole women on night one, men on night two, Ronda Rousey. You know, she's going to be in the main event on night one. But I also think that Austin, it's kind of like Shawn Michaels when he came back at SummerSlam in 2002. He didn't headline SummerSlam that year. It was Rock and Brock, and Brock was still the new guy at the time. They didn't know what they were going to get with Shawn. He ended up getting a great match, but you didn't know that. Maybe they feel the same way about Austin. You know, put him in the ring with Owens, see how he does. If he does well and wants to do more, then maybe he can have some main events. But look, Stone Cold Steve Austin is one of, and I'm not exaggerating here, Stone Cold Steve Austin is one of the biggest names in the history of the business. If he comes back to the ring, it is a very big deal. It should be worthy of a main event spot. But if it's against Kevin Owens, and it's been 19 years, you don't really know what you're going to get, maybe it's not going to be a long match. You know, if you're going to have a main event at WrestleMania, you already know Lesnar and Reigns on night two is not going 20 minutes. Brock Lesnar is not going 20 or 25 minutes in the WrestleMania main event. So, ideally, you would have a longer match on night one. I don't know how long Austin would even go in a match. 19 years away, how long could he go? It probably would be like a 5 or 6 minute thing. I don't think it would be that long. So you got to factor that into the thinking as well. Magician Sapphire, $10 super chat. I get the feeling that Omega comes back and screws Cole out of the championship, setting up the Elite against the Paragon feud. Possible. Although, again, I believe Omega said he had another surgery left, unless he was swerving us on the interview with Meltzer, you know. I don't know that he's ready to come back. That would be a big spot for him, too. But it would be very unlike AEW, though. I think in the main event, they only have 4 pay-per-views a year. And in your main event world title match, you're going to have interference. I don't think it's not their MO. WWE would do that. I don't know that's how they want to end the show, though. I don't know. I could see Omega maybe coming out after, especially if Cole loses. But I don't know about him costing him the championship in the main event. I'm not sure about that. Corbin Rogers with the $9.99. Yeah, Maz, Paragon was the name that I think O'Reilly used once on television. I don't know for sure if that's the name they're going to go with for the Cole, Fish, and O'Reilly faction. But that's where Paragon comes from. They used it on television once or twice. I don't think they mentioned it again. Maybe they dropped it. But Corbin Rogers, how would you think Fox, or how do you think Fox feels about NASCAR averaging 9 million viewers the first 2 races this year compared to SmackDown? I think that you are underestimating how big of a deal NASCAR is to a lot of people in this country. NASCAR is very popular. I don't get it. I'm not, you know, big on just sitting there and watching. I like watching, you know, highlights maybe of some of the races. I can't sit there and watch a whole thing of races. You know, it's just like people can't watch baseball. Some people think it's boring, you know? A bunch of guys standing around in the outfield scratching themselves and spitting sunflower seeds out all over the place. You know, I love baseball, but some people don't. NASCAR has always been very popular. So it's not surprising to me that it would get that many people. But I think Fox knew what they were getting into with WWE. WWE, right, there's no WWE show that has ever gotten 9 million viewers I'm trying to think how many years it's been. I don't mean ever. There was that Saturday night's main event with Hogan and Andre that did 33 million. The highest Raw ever in May of 99 did an 8.1 rating. Which was around, it was in that range of like maybe 7 or 8 million. It was crazy. But they knew that the WWE of today doesn't bring in numbers like that before they signed the contract. So I think Fox is getting exactly what they should have expected. What did they expect? SmackDown was going to debut on Fox and get 5-10 million viewers a week? Are they out of their fucking minds? Nobody there did their due diligence? Come on. Even in 99, when SmackDown was on UPN, and I know UPN maybe didn't have the kind of clearances that Fox did, but that was like Attitude Era level WWE. They weren't pulling in numbers on network television even then like that. So Fox should not be surprised by these numbers. They knew what they were paying for. Drew Johnson, Solomonster, love the show. Your stream is the best. Thank you, Drew. Thank you. You are the GOAT. Deontay Soigne with the $2 super chat. MJF, he's a piece of shit, but he's my piece of shit. Yeah, I agree. He is a piece of shit. Amiibo Guru with the $5 super chat. Looks like the sign came through. Had a blast tonight. Hashtag simping for Solomonster. Amiibo, that was very cool of you. Bring that sign to the show. And as I tell everybody, if you bring a sound off sign, give me a heads up. Because if I catch it, or if somebody clips it, I'll show it on the stream. I'll give you a shout out. Whether it's a sign, whether it's a giant Solomonster head. I'm still waiting for one of those. Maybe somebody can take that illustration. I've never looked better. My fucking muscles have muscles in that illustration. You can blow it up, hold it up on a sign, man. Come on. Sound of logo right there so people know who it is. Deontay Soigne, yet again, $4 super chat. I hate him for fun, MJF. Love the show. And Randy Bobandy with the $9.99. Russo on a pole, bro. if you got cast on Survivor, how do you think you would do? I would be the first one eliminated. I don't do well in situations like that. Especially if it was like in the outdoors and I had to survive like in the wilderness or something. Please, I would be eaten by a bear on the first night. I would either be eaten by a bear or I would freeze to death if I have to like find wood to start a fire. I probably wouldn't be able to do it. I would die within 24 hours. I would be dead. So I would not do very well. To answer your question, that's why I will never try out for Survivor. Cam Reamston, or Reamston. We'll just call him Cam. Thank you for the $4.99. Big shout out to you, Solo. Every time I'm having a hard time in life, always able to come back and ease my mind. That's why I'm here. Why I'm here, brother. I'm here to serve. Whatever it is that's going on in life, you can turn it off for a couple of hours and come watch and listen and hang out. Ted Evans says, love you, Solo, but you need to do some curls. I could probably do some, gotta do some lats, right? Some delts. I just stick to the cardio. That's my problem. I could bulk up and look just like I do in that illustration if I put the effort in, but I'm not motivated enough, and I don't know what I'm doing. I'm picking up free weights. I need a focus plan. I'm focusing on cardio and nothing else, so. So I said, I've never looked better than I look in that illustration. Oh boy, look who it is, everybody. It is Luis. It is Luis Belmont Cho with the $5 super chat. I am happy that Brock Lesnar got what he wanted. Him against Roman Reigns, champion against champion. Winner take all. Kevin is very excited in the chat that I will be making a guest appearance tomorrow night, for those who missed it, 8 o'clock Eastern, over on Don Tony's YouTube channel. The streaming page is up as we speak. So you can go over there and bookmark it, and the chat is open over there on his page. Show him some love. There's Deontay again. You always get my name right. No one does. Thank you, bro. I'm glad I got your name right, because at first I was like, do I say it this way or do I say it a different way? I said, no, I think it's this way. So I'm glad I got it right. There it is. For Deontay, there it is. There's the modern-day mega powers. Paul Heyman never looked so good. With Brock Savage and Hulk Reigns. Get a kettlebell. Actually, you know what I thought about getting... are the, oh God, what are they called? Oh, it just, the straps. It just popped out of my head what the fuck they're called. They're like the rubber, those rubber straps, or the rubber bands. But everyone I look up online, I'm trying to find like a quality one, and like on Amazon, and I'm going through the reviews, and they all break. And people are like, yeah, I'm working out with them, and then boom, one day it just snaps. They're all like crappy quality. I gotta find some quality bands. I just don't know where to look. I don't want them snapping on me, putting out an eye. Bowflex? No, not Bowflex. Not Bowflex. They're just like bands. You could tie them to like a post or something. You could step on them, and it's for resistance bands. They're resistance bands. But again, a lot of the ones that I've looked up online, they just don't seem to be of good quality. They snap, they break. People are posting photos. I go, I don't want that. Shake weight? No, I don't do shake weight. Is shake weight even still a thing? Don Juan with the $1.99. Very upset. He goes, I am the real Don. Don Tony who? Well, you are the Don here in our chat. How about that? In our little community here, you are the one and only Don. See, he's not coming here. I'm going to him. So that's over there. Over here, you're the Don. Resistance bands do work. I know they do. That's why I'm looking for some quality resistance bands that won't break. Once I find them, we'll start getting, you know, summer, before you know it, summer's going to be here. I got to get my beach body ready for the summer. We got to start planning for the summer here. When I hit the beach, I'm going to be flexing on the beach, running down the sand like on Baywatch. I'll look like, what's his face, back in the day on Baywatch. What was his name? Need Gargano in AEW? Well, be patient for a few weeks. You might get your wish. You can get some for free if you went to physical therapy. Oh, I already did physical therapy a few years ago. I don't need to go back to physical therapy again. Luis, chiming in with another $5. Could we get the winged dragon of Ra to block Paul Heyman from getting away? What? The winged dragon of Ra? What the fuck is that? I don't know what that is. The winged dragon of Ra? Anyway. Cam, thank you for the $1.99. Could Cody go to CYN instead of WWE? What does any of this mean? Oh, control your narrative. Okay. For a second there, I didn't know what was going on here. Why would Cody go to control your narrative? That would be ridiculous. No. He's out of his mind. If he ends up there, he's out of his mind. Especially if he in part left AEW because of money. You don't go to control your narrative if you're looking for a good payday. I can promise you that. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is that what that's from? The Winged Dragon of Ra, I'm being told. Alright, I'm being told that the Winged Dragon of Ra is a Yu-Gi-Oh! Reference. I have been schooled. David Hasselhoff, yes, that's who I was referring to before. It was David Hasselhoff. Watch anime? Dude, I barely have time for all the wrestling I have to watch. You got me watching anime here. No anime for me. All right, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Jared, I saw something go by before in the chat, but again, the super chats pop up in a separate window. I get all those organized. Anything on the right-hand side here, I either catch it or I don't, but I get to go back when everything is over and read through everything I missed, so. But thank you. I think he's, 10 months now? Are you 10 months deep or 9 months? Channel members. You know, March is coming up, and next month we will have had channel memberships here open for a full year. I only opened them up at the end of March last year for the first time, and we are very, very close to 300 members, which was one of those milestone numbers I wanted to hit, and we're almost there. So only you guys can help get me there, and everybody who has already joined, I thank you for that. We're so close. I would love to hit it before we hit the year, but either way, we're going to hit it soon, and that's not possible without you guys. Devin from NJ2000, much fun talking to you last Thursday, Solomonster. Yeah, you know, again, one of those perks of channel membership, and that's for all tiers, there's two tiers, is the call-in shows. We just started doing them. I used to do calls here at the end of the live streams, and then once I started doing Be the Booker, which I'm going to get to here, but and then sometimes the streams would go over and I would turn around and it's like, I'm 2 hours in. I'm not first doing phone calls 2 hours in. And then some of the calls got ridiculous and people didn't like them. And I said, fine. So I said, you know what we'll do? We'll make it a perk for channel members. So we still do phone calls. We do these dedicated shows. I opened the phone lines up to you guys. We did 2 hours last week. I had a completely shitty day. That was the day that I got stranded in the Apple store in Apple hell for 8 hours. I had an 11 a.m. Genius Bar appointment to fix an issue with my existing phone. Ended up buying a new phone, which I needed anyway. And then there was some transfer issue where I had traded in the old phone and everything was already taken care of, but they couldn't transfer my photos and stuff over. and it wasn't in the cloud. That's my fault. It wasn't in the cloud. But device to device should be lickety split. And it was like I had stumped them. Like all these geniuses in the Genius Bar were completely stumped. And I said, I'm not going to let you wipe my old device and erase it until I get my fucking photos. But I had already, you know, gotten the money for the trade-in, so I couldn't leave the store. So I was stuck there. 8 o'clock at night. It took that long on their Wi-Fi to transfer every single thing that was on the old device. I wanted to just bang my head against the wall. I can't tell you how many people walked up to me that day and said, "You're still here?" Like they felt sorry for me. They were about to start throwing spare change at me. At least feed me. Go buy me lunch from the food court or something. Jesus. But I came home that night and was just not in the mood. And you guys cheered me up. So that was as fun for me as it was for you. I'm glad you enjoyed the show. And again, we'll probably do another one next week. No, Cam, the spots in the ladder match of Revolution, they are not yet filled. I think there is at least three more. They're going to fill one on Friday, and then I guess the remaining ones will be filled next week. Anyway, it is time. You guys know the drill. It is that time to be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Ah, yes, it is one of your favorite segments. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the stream, I did mention that over these next few weeks, we're going to be filling these brackets out right here. See the black bracket there? That's going to be for the men. The red one will be for the ladies. And so starting tonight, as I pick matches each week, I do it on Wednesdays. I do it on the SmackDown Rampage recap on Fridays. I will collect the names of all of the matches, you know, who is wrestling who. Once I have eight for the men, eight different matches, and eight for the women, I will put together a bracket. And then over a period of time, I will let you guys vote for which matches you want to see advance until we get one winning match that I will allow you to vote on. So anyway, we'll be filling our own little March Madness bracket out here over the next few weeks. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. I hope we pick some good ones. Oh, I hope we pick some good ones. Well, let's see. Let's begin with the men. See what we come up with here. Again, this is going to be the first match that's going to go somewhere in that men's bracket. And we begin with Kofi Kingston. Look at those Kofi plates. Former WWE champion, Kofi Kingston. So we're starting with a former world champion here. Not bad. Let's see who Kofi is going to be challenging. Who's he going to be standing across the ring from? He'll be going one-on-one with the bad guy, Razor Ramon. What do you think about that? Razor Ramon against Kofi Kingston. I kind of like that match. I'm gonna give that one a thumbs up. I like that. So that's our first men's match. That's going to be going into the men's bracket. And we'll flip over now, and we will do the ladies now. The Be the Booker, that is. We're going to do the female. You know what I mean. Let's Be the Booker on the lady side. See what we come up with here. Our first choice is Eve Torres, former WWE Divas Champion. Eve. I don't know. I liked Eve, though. I liked Eve. Let's see who Eve is going to be stepping into the ring with. It'll be Eve going one-on-one with Stephanie McMahon. Not a good start. Not a good start on the ladies' side, but it's got to go in the bracket. Eve Torres one-on-one against Stephanie McMahon. That will be in the bracket. So our March Madness has begun for Be the Booker. We'll be doing this again on Friday night on the stream. Again, once I have 8 matches that I have chosen for the men and then 8 for the women, I will put the bracket together. I will put it on online for you guys to see. And we might limit the voting to YouTube only. So I could post polls under the community section. I can put a live poll even in the chat here on some of the streams. So instead of doing it on Twitter, maybe we'll do it here. And I'll let you guys vote. Which match do you like more? Which match do you think is the better match that should be moving on in the tournament? We're doing March Madness here on the Sound Off channel. Be the Booker style. So thank you for everybody who has left me some compliments on the new look for Be the Booker. I'm really happy with the way it turned out. Very happy with the way it turned out. All right, let me see. Where are we on the likes here before we head out of here? Almost 500. We'll get 500 plus here on the archive. But thank you to everybody who hit that like button. I want you to do that on the way out if you have not already done so, because it does help the stream out. It really does. So don't forget to hit that thumbs up. I'm going to be live again on Friday here on this channel talking SmackDown to Rampage, but I'm going to be live on a different channel. And that is coming up tomorrow night. One more reminder here. I'm going to be over on Don Tony's channel tomorrow night, 8.05 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to pay a visit to the Don. I'm going to be talking wrestling and answering some of your questions. This could be it. This could be the one and only time. So it's a can't-miss event. I know there is a lot of people who listen to my shows who also listen to his and vice versa. So if you're into that, that's going to be fun tomorrow night, 8.05 Eastern. Come join. Come hang out with us. And that's all I got for you tonight. So thank you for choosing me for your Dynamite coverage, as I know many of you do each and every single week. I appreciate the hell out of you for it. Don't forget to vote at Solomonster on Twitter. That's where I put all the polls up for these shows. And Luis is going to get the last word here. He had to sneak that last super chat in, talking about some current events, some terrible events going on in the world, but that's why you need wrestling as an escape. That's why you need wrestling as an escape. But Luis, thank you for the super chat. I appreciate the $2. Thank you very much. I'm going to see you guys on Friday night for SmackDown or Rampage. So until then, take care, guys.